Sandler Training can show you how and why salespeople fail. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
I didn't expect the result to be as quick as they were. I've done programs where I've had quick results, but then I get bored with it. The difference with Sandler is I've stayed with it, and over the course of a year, I've continued to build on those results, and it's new stuff every time that I'm learning and applying. My business, there's a marked increase that everybody in my company has noticed and comes and says, what's going on? What are you doing?
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
And welcome to Entrepreneur Radio, where you get to learn more about my heroes in society, independent business owners and leaders. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training, and I've invited Double Trouble into my studio. It's going to be tough. I have Jackie Hamilton and Acacia Fisher with me. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So these two are twins, identical twins, and their business is Double Trouble Bail Bonds. And I'm excited to be able to share their story because theirs is a story of some of the struggles that lead to success, some of the challenges that we all have when we're starting a business. And we find that the best way to learn, I think, is from hearing someone else's story and learning from them. And I'm pretty confident today listeners are going to be pretty inspired by your story. So let's kick it off by, let's see, Acacia, were you the first one that was attracted to bail bonds?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me your story. What got you interested? And by the way, it's unfortunate this is radio because you can't see, I have two beautiful women who you would never dream do for a living what they do. So it's pretty exciting. Acacia, how'd you get involved in this?
When I was 17, I got a subpoena to go to court as a witness to a car accident. And I didn't know what I was doing. So my mom knew this bail bondsman to escort me to court and kind of show me where to go. And we just got to talking and I was asking her all these questions, and it was just something I knew then that I wanted to pursue.
And how old were you at that time?
17.
So 17, and you were curious enough that you took action right away. Tell us what you did to start a business that quickly. Get involved.
I started staying at her house on the weekends when I didn't have school, and then just watching her and learning the business already. So the day after I turned 18, I took my insurance test, and I could start doing it on my own.
That is awesome. So, and at that point, were you working as a subcontractor or an agent for someone else?
I worked for her.
Oh, you
for
worked
a little
for
bit.
Her.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. I continued to work for her.
And what was the catalyst that made you say, you know what, I think I could do this on my own and start your own business?
Well, we worked for so many companies and we were constantly growing them. The lawyers knew who we were. They weren't really interested in what company we worked for. And I was just kind of tired of working that hard for someone else. It didn't make sense anymore.
It's so often that businesses grow out of something like that, a sense of frustration. I'm good at something and I think I could do this on my own. The gap I think most business owners have is they don't have the courage to jump into it and start their business. So what? Tell us that part of the story.
Well, we are 23, 24 years old.
I told her no.
Jackie didn't want to do it. So I was like, one way or the other, I'm doing it. You can be on board with me or you don't have to be. And I think I had maybe $1,500 in the bank.
Wow.
And I put it all into Double Trouble. And I was like, I'm jumping in. So
that's
sink
awesome.
Or swim. So
awesome.
I better swim.
Yeah, awesome. So Jackie, what changed your mind? And when did you finally decide, okay, I'm in?
Well, she's always been the brains of the operation.
I was terrified because I was 23 years old and I was 7 months pregnant and I didn't have any money.
I was
maybe 50 bucks. So I'm like, I'm nervous. I don't know if I could do this because I have an income right now. And she says, well, I'm going to do it with or without you. And I said, well, then I'm in. So I went with her and did it.
So like all new businesses, you probably spent the first few months starving. What did you do to generate new business?
We just did what we always did.
Constantly went to court, went and talked to our lawyers and said, hey, we're switching to Double Trouble now, and this is what we're doing.
Now, I'm guessing there may be some listeners out there like me. I had no idea what a bail bondsman is or does. So tell us that. Give us that story.
A bail agent's only purpose is if you've been arrested for a crime, you have a standard bond amount, and so you have to contact a bail agent if you want release from that jail.
So to get out of the jail, you've got to pony up some money. And so part of that involves you having having an insurance policy on them? And
technically, we're backed by an insurance company, but there's a dollar amount. There's a dollar amount to it, and they pay a percentage of it with a co-signer to guarantee they're going to show up in court.
Now, I have watched, what's that show about?
Dog
the Bounty Hunter. I've seen some of that, and these are, they actually go after folks who have skipped out.
Correct.
You two don't do that, do you?
We do.
Oh, really?
We have to.
How does that work?
Well, because a bail is a financial incentive for the defendant to go to court. So either their parents put up the money, so that's reason enough for them to go, or it's reason enough for us to go find them if they choose not to.
And does that happen very often where you're actually trying to track somebody down and get them to pay?
Well, we're always trying to get them to pay. But we don't track them down for payment. We track them down if they've missed their court date.
Oh, I
only.
I see. And so you're getting paid out of the amount of the bail that's being set. And so you get paid only when the case is done?
No, they have to pay up front before they're released.
Oh, I see.
The 10% premium.
And these two are not only, you've been doing this 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like, I'm thinking in the beginning, most arrests don't take place during 9 to 5.
No.
Right?
They're all
they're
open.
Late hours, yeah. Middle of the night. And you two are up in the middle of the night going out and posting bail? Or
is that- I think, well, not so much anymore, but for the first 10 years of this 13, yes.
Wow.
Every day in and day out.
And how did you possibly say, let's keep doing this? I think I'd have been done in 6 months.
The thrill.
Really?
It's just thrilling to me.
What's the fun of it? Tell us that.
I love the people. Everyone is new. The stories are new. It's so exciting. I love tracking people down. That's really my big strength in the company. I'm good at it. I like to do it. I like to go to people's houses and see what we're going to find and what they're going to do. And it's just exciting to me.
And you're doing that not just here locally, but do you have to travel out of state?
If they leave the state, we travel.
So you have to travel and go find them and pick them up.
And bring them back.
And are you literally bringing them back in handcuffs?
Yeah, in the back of our cars.
So are you arresting them? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, they're technically under arrest.
Wow.
We have the handcuffs, the tasers, the flashlights.
Oh my gosh. That does sound thrilling. And and Acacia, do you share that same thrill, or you're happy letting her chase them down?
I think I've traveled so much over the years that kind of my excitement for that is burnt out a little bit.
Right.
So she
right.
kind of took over.
Yeah.
But maybe after the baby's born, maybe I'll get it right. back. I don't
know. Yeah. And so folks that are listening, Acacia has two and one on the way.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie has
two girls. And we each have a stepson.
And you each have, it's unbelievable. So here is young women. Do you mind sharing your age?
We are 31.
31 years old. They've been bail bondsmen. Their business name is Double Trouble Bail Bonds. And they have kids, young kids at home, and run a business like that. Just awesome to me. That is really the picture of the American dream. Here's two women who, one of the reasons before the interview, I said, why do you do this? And one of you said, well, I'm just unemployable. Who is that?
My sister. I would be fired.
And that is so true. A lot of entrepreneurs get into business because they just don't like being told what to do.
No.
And they want to do it themselves.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to a young person that's listening to us who's been thinking, yeah, maybe I should go out on my own?
They need to. Do it. You might not succeed, but something will come out of that. You just need to do it. And I wouldn't, if Double Trouble failed, I wouldn't regret taking that leap for a second.
Wow. So it's being implicit in that is you have to be willing to fail.
I think that there's big payoff and big gambles. We have failed so many times at this over 7 years that to me now struggles aren't that hard anymore. If I can overcome what we've overcome in 7 years, raising kids, collecting money, paying bills, chasing people down, then life's pretty easy.
Wow. What a great perspective. That is so awesome. And what would you say about enduring the race? Because I think it's easy to quit, right? When you start your own business, it will be hard.
Right.
It is going to be tough. And if you don't have the drive and motive to endure that race, so what advice would you give to someone who is thinking about quitting?
Well, you can't go into starting a business thinking you're going to work 9 to 5. So you better just be mentally prepared that you will have 14, 15, 20 hour days to kick this off. And it's going to be draining and time consuming for years, but you will get to where you want to be.
Yeah, I've heard it said an overnight success in 20 years.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, completely true.
And how about for you, Jackie, from your perspective, what advice would you give to somebody who's thinking about giving it in and up and throwing in the towel?
I wouldn't give up. I've had those talks with myself so many times. I'm just like, I'm just so glad I didn't, because now I have the freedom and the capacity. If I want to be off at 2 o'clock to go be with my children, go coach their basketball, go do something, it's because I've put in those hard hours and work to be able to get to that point and just don't stop.
Right.
There's no point in stopping if you've already come that far.
Yeah. And I think part of a new business startup, a lot of growth happens by word of mouth, and you get a lot of your business from attorneys. Mm-hmm. Who have learned to depend on you. Talk us through that relationship.
Our attorneys are amazing. I just feel like we're friends. Mm. So we've worked so closely with them where it really is a big deal for them to trust you. You're getting their clients out. You need to respect them. You also have to trust the attorneys. They're going to do a good job for your clients you're referring over there. So it's just a really good relationship. Mm.
And it's built over time.
Yeah, years.
And if you're an entrepreneur building a business, think about walking away from that, right? You've got the word of mouth. Now, I think a lot of entrepreneurs don't maybe have the skill set or the maybe drive that you two have to develop a relationship with a lawyer. So I'm thinking of you two at 23 years old, earning the respect of a lawyer. How did you do that?
That was mostly Jackie.
I don't think about it like that. Like, I'll be honest, me and Acacia have no skill set. We graduated high school.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't trained to run a business.
Well, yeah, we're college dropouts.
It was failing at it. And then like, okay, that didn't work. Let's start here. And to earn the respect of a lawyer, I think because I am just so honest, you could tell by my character and our reputation, and I'm just so genuine in what I'm doing and I really care about it, that they wanted to use us. Like, that girl is great. She's always here. She's a go-getter and I want to use her.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And then in turn, you're probably referring them.
Absolutely.
So it goes two ways.
Yeah. But they had to build our trust too, because I'm not going to refer to a lawyer that has a horrible reputation.
Good point.
So, I mean, it just seemed to just click. But it was easy for me. It was easy.
She's more social.
Yeah.
So it's more easy.
Yeah. You're outgoing.
Better for her to build those relationships.
And you're more of an introvert. Mm-hmm. Acacia. Yeah. So it's a good team, right?
Yeah.
Double trouble.
Yeah.
And now you're at a growth stage in your business where you're starting a new branch office. What gave you the desire to do that? And talk us through that.
I fell in love with Montana. I went to Montana, a couple of years ago, and I fell in love with it. So I was just bored. And I'm just like, well, let's try here. Let's do it here. We should have money coming in all avenues. And let's just go see what Montana's about.
Well, and Idaho's making a lot of changes when it comes to bail. So it's also kind of a backup plan.
Oh, good idea. Mm-hmm. So you're forecasting the future. You're looking at what might be happening, mm-hmm. and you're diversifying.
Yeah.
Man, for dropouts, you are brilliant. You two are awesome. So you two, what makes your story even more remarkable is you both come from a very difficult upbringing in childhood. You were raised by a single mother. Your dad abandoned you at birth. The background you came from was very challenging. Many people in that situation would be blaming the world for their woes. You two have turned this into an inspiration. You spent a lot of time personally developing your own skill set. Is that fair to say?
Yes, think that's fair.
And so out of that, what grew?
I have the mentality now, I'm the only person that I can count on. And I learned to take care of myself. And if I'm not taking care of myself and making my own money and taking care of those kids, there's not going to be someone there to do it for me.
So you actually look at your background and you don't see it as a curse. You see it as a blessing.
Thank God.
Yeah. All the challenges we went through really motivated us to work hard and strive to be better.
And have this positive attitude that mm-hmm. you have now. even about that? And so I'm guessing when you're talking to somebody who doesn't know you, they must be assuming that you either work for someone else or maybe you inherited the business from your parents. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, oftentimes they ask us that, yes.
And so what do you say then?
No, we did that on our own.
Yeah.
That's awesome. When it comes to the perseverance to endure, you've been 13 years and you both are still fully committed to the business.
Correct.
Very much so, yes.
That drive, where's that come from?
I can only depend on myself. That's all I can think of every day is if I don't get up and out of bed to make my own money, what are my kids going to do?
Yeah. So
I have to do this.
Driven by taking care of your family and taking care of your clients too.
Correct.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great story, you guys. My guests today are Jackie and Acacia. Jackie Hamilton, Acacia Fisher. They are twins, owners of Double Trouble Bail Bonds. How would somebody reach you if they wanted to have a conversation or use your services?
They can Google the name and the number will pop up or
awesome. Double Trouble?
629-2517.
One more time.
629-2517.
And the website is www.doubletroublebailbonds.com. Great story.
Thank you.
Very inspiring. Proud of you two. Thanks for being a guest.
Thank you.
As a sales manager, you do what it takes to motivate your team, like having regular sales meetings and providing coaching and training when needed. But as a sales manager, how do you improve your performance? Sandler Sales Training has 6 free suggestions for you to become a more effective manager. Just visit crossroads.sandler.com for your free download. Attitude, behavior, and becoming a resource are just a few of the areas where you may improve your skills as a manager, a mentor, and a motivator. Sandler Sales Training invites you to grab these 6 free tips today at crossroads.sandler.com. You can use these suggestions to examine your attitudes and actions, which can help you interact better with your sales team and improve their performance. Become a better leader today. Again, that's crossroads.sandler.com. Sandler Sales Training, finding power in reinforcement. Let them show you how. Visit crossroads.sandler.com today.
So Justin and I have been talking about goal setting. It's that time of year where we tend as humans to take a bit of an inventory. It's a new year. It's a clean slate. And I made the comment earlier that you're either a part of your own plan or you're working to support someone else's. And because of that, I always encourage all of my employees to build their own personal plan. And I want to get my plan to align with their plan because I know an employee is going to be far more motivated to achieve their goals than to achieve my goals. And what my job as a manager is to help them see that it is my commitment to help them achieve their personal goals. And the way we're going to get it done is by working together within the business. That way I get my needs met because they're working to fulfill their needs. So in our first segment, Justin, we were talking about how you could be pessimistic or optimistic, and either one of those can be a negative. Share with us from your perspective. Talk a little bit about the behavior part of the success triangle.
So great question. The success triangle, if you picture a triangle, it's built of 3 corners. In the Sandler world, those corners are behaviors. That's really the what I do. The attitude, which is the how I feel about what I do. And then the technique, which is what I actually do, the words I say.
So how I do it, yeah.
How I do it. Yeah. So when it comes to goal setting, some of the behaviors that you really need to make sure you have in line are not only what I want. So we can all write a dream list, right?
Bucket list.
Bucket list, you name it. If you have your bucket list, now you have to track how am I going to get there? That's where the behaviors come in. And it could be... Let's pretend the goal you set is a financial goal. If you've set a financial goal and you're in sales, for example, in order to meet that goal, your behaviors are going to consist of maybe it's asking for 2 referrals every day. Maybe it's doing 5 cold calls every day. But some measurable action that you can take on a daily or at least a weekly basis to make sure you're moving towards that goal.
And one of the things we'd like you to do is begin begin with the end in mind. So if I'm projecting out in Justin as 30, 31 years old, if he's thinking, okay, I want to retire when I'm 70. So what do I need to have in order to be able to retire financially? I need to have my house paid for. I need to have vehicles paid for. I need to have X dollars in savings. I'm guessing with inflation and those type of things, depending on the lifestyle you want, you may have to have $1 million or two in reserve so you can live off of your interest. We don't want to outlive our money.
Right.
If you outlive your money, that's not good for anybody because your family is now going to have to pay the price of your failure to plan. So the behavior can be as simple as saying, all right, I know I need to save $22.50 every single day.
Right.
So if that's the case, I need to figure out how do I make an extra $22.65 every day? What do I cut in my expenses to make sure I'm doing the behavior to achieve that long-term goal? I think too often people set dreams, set goals, but they stumble on paying the price to achieve that goal.
You know, you bringing that up makes me think of, you already mentioned it's the New Year's coming up. And when New Year's resolutions come around, we all know there's a plethora of people who go out and join gyms. They go out
right.
and get on this new health kick program to get healthy, which I applaud. I think I love that they're trying. But the fact is, they have to be committed. It's one thing to say, I want to retire at 55 would be my goal. It's one thing for me to say that. It's another for me to actually put the money aside
so that
in order to retire at 55.
Right.
And so there's that difference between want and actually working towards
something. Action and will. No, there really is. And so we started this program by making some suggestions of questions that you can ask yourself by way of taking an inventory. And I think we want to set goals in our personal life, our spiritual life, our mental life, our physical fitness. We want to set goals around family, around our work priorities, around the community. So there's a lot of areas that I think people tend to forget that I have control over establishing goals that will dictate a different outcome. So my effort this year at going through my self-inventory and realizing that my mind is very active and very skeptical, and that negativity has an impact on me. And seeing it, asking myself questions like, what's working great in my personal life? Or what's broken? What's not working in my personal life? What are some of the unfinished business that I have? Some things, loose ends that I've not tied up. What are some of my self-limiting beliefs and fears? Taking time to ask these questions and answer them. And I recommend if you're thinking about doing this, you just ask yourself those questions and write them out. It's journaling. It's a journaling exercise. And for me, I recognize that everything that is limiting me is in my control to change. But to Justin's point, I haven't made it a priority to change. And I know what I should do, and I know how to do it. It's the executing of it. And we believe in Sandler, you won't change until the pain of staying the same is too big and you force yourself to get out of your comfort zone and do something different. Unless, on the other hand, you can take a moral inventory and say, you know what, it's just in my best interest, and dig in, find some discipline, and make the future you want come to pass, which is, we call it establishing an attitude behavior journal. So talk a little bit about the principle of gratitudes and attraction and those type of things, Justin.
You know, I think with social media these days, we're all given a window into our acquaintances and friends' lives. They get to pick what they put out into the world.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I can think of three off the top of my head, acquaintances that I call it the Eeyore complex. It's raining every day, no matter, oh, I won the lottery, the taxes are so high, right?
Right.
A hyperbole, but in their world, it's always raining. That's what they see happening. In my world, it's always sunny, right? So even the bad things aren't that bad because look at this great lesson I learned.
Right.
So tend to attract what we spend time thinking about. So one of the things you mentioned, that attitude behavior journal, taking time to just list, what are you grateful for each day? really helps you use the word inventory. It helps you take an inventory of, man, how great is my life?
Look at the blessings I have.
I mean, everybody who lives in America right now, no matter what you think, feel, or believe, you're blessed. You could be someplace else that would not offer the freedoms that we have here in America. So just realizing I have those blessings and listing out those blessings. It's amazing how that attitude of gratitude really helps build your day. If you start out your day thinking, man, you know what? I got to go to work. But guess what? I can pay my bills. I don't have to worry about where lunch is coming from. I can get my car out of the parking garage, right? Whatever that is, if you go into your day with that attitude of gratitude, it has the potential to completely change your day.
It sets the course of your day and it sets it on a positive note. Without that, you start the day in fast pace, go, go, go mode, and don't take time to really meditate, pray, quiet yourself, get settled into what would be a healthy mindset for me to enter in this day with. Oh, it makes all the difference in the world. I'm Jim Stevens, and I'm joined today with Justin Stevens. We are with Sandler Training here in Meridian, Idaho. Justin, we've got a workshop coming up. Share with the listeners a little bit about that goal setting workshop.
So on December 27th and January 3rd from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we are doing two different two-hour sessions. The first one is building your goals. What are those goals that we want to set? And the second session is going to be, how do we track and hold ourselves accountable to those goals?
And if you do register to attend, we're going to be sending you some pre-work that we want you to do. So when you come, you're ready to roll up your sleeves and create an actionable plan. I'm Idaho's CEO of Sandler Training, Jim Stevens. If you like this show and want to subscribe to our content, visit us at crossroads.sandler.com/podcast or reach out to us at 208-429-9275. This is Sandler Training, finding power through reinforcement. Justin, so far we've talked about conceptual, but I'd like us to get into some of the more technical aspects of goal setting. So let's walk through a couple of examples of things that our listeners could do to actually put into place a plan for change. And maybe we put it in the context of some of the things you yourself have done.
So when it comes to goal setting, the first thing I do is I take time to slow down and really think about me as a person. Me being what am I passionate about? What has given me the most satisfaction in the past? Or what excites me about life? Then I start looking at, what am I good at doing? What am I talented at? What if other people's told me, hey, you're great at doing that. You're a great presenter. You're a great trainer. What are some of my strengths? I also think about, what's important to me? What do I care about? What do I want to attract in the future?
I think the importance of this is really setting yourself up for success by building goals around who you are, not who you want to become. Because we're not going to achieve the future by being in the future. We achieve what we want in the future by being in the present. One of the tools that we have available, if you're listening and hearing Justin ask these questions and thinking, wow, that's awfully deep. Where do I even start? I don't know what my strengths are. We do some assessments that are really helpful in identifying for you, what are you really good at? What are your skills? What are the things that you're not very good at that you need to be adjusted? Because that's part of my annual goal is I look at the areas where I'm falling short and I know it's costing me time, money, or energy, and I'm going to work on making a change in how I perform in those specific areas.
If you don't take that time to focus on where you are right now and how to live in the present, I don't know about you, but I know people who have spent their whole life working to retire and forget that, you know, that's the maybe the destination, but don't forget about the ride.
Right.
Right? Life is very short. So let's live in the moment. Let's work through where are we and work on how do we build to where we want to go. So, Jim, when it comes to your goal setting, what are some of those things that you do when you're getting started?
I like to start with putting my life in context. I did this exercise once. It was really valuable. If you can, in your mind's eye, think of a chart that goes up and down. And if a horizontal line is neutral, the peaks are the high points in your life. The valleys are the low points in your life. And if you'll just graph out, like for me, I was very ill in, I think it was fourth grade. I missed half of school. They thought I was going to die. And so that's a valley. You know, that was a time in my life, as I look back, that was very difficult. And then I look at some of the peaks. Of course, when your mom and I got married, that was a big peak.
How long ago was that?
Yeah, that's 39 years today.
Congratulations.
When each of you kids were born, those were peaks. We had some business challenges, and those are some of the valleys. And if you look at the highs and lows in your life over the course of a big picture, it can help you see what is your trajectory. Are you escalating and achieving more? Are the peaks getting higher and the valleys getting lower? If so, you're doing something right. If not, then you're in the lock loop of insanity and you're letting negativity or past patterns and habits drive you. So I think that contextualize your future by a timeline exercise like that is a good starting point to help you realize where have I been and where am I going. And then part of setting the course for the future, I got to ask myself, really, who am I? And oftentimes I think I'm not even able to answer that because I may not know. Right. So I may need to look to other people. Who am I from other people's perspectives? For me, as a Christian, who am I in Christ Jesus? Who am I from God's perspective? Because who I am in Christ supersedes who I am in my being. Mm-hmm. And so anchored to that and reaching towards the future that I feel God has called me to, what is my purpose? What is my calling? I think those are all things. And I think whether you're a Christian, a Muslim, a Jew, doesn't matter your religious background, no religious background at all, I still think the act of goal setting is a spiritual journey. And it's about inner contemplation, and it's about really envisioning that future you want. If I can envision it, I can feel it. And if I can feel it, I can create it. And one of the things we use to help make it emotionally impactful and real is called a vision board. So share, Justin, describe what a vision board is.
I love vision boardings. Thank you for asking. Vision board is after you've gone through and you've built this idea of what you want to accomplish, where you want to go. Now it's time to go and find pictures. It can be personal pictures. It can be pictures cut out of magazines. It can be, you could go find them on the internet, but make a collage of the goals that you want to accomplish and keep it somewhere where you can see it. Keep it somewhere where you can look at it every day and say, that is what I am working for. That is why I'm getting up and doing this. That is why I behave the way I do, or I put myself through these things that at the time, we all have things we put ourselves right through that we'd rather not.
Right, right, right.
But why? That's where it's key.
And I think the power of a vision board is that it harnesses your mind and emotion. If I can feel myself having achieved what I envision it, making it become a reality is a natural consequence. I always think about that movie Cool Runnings,
mm-hmm,
with the Jamaican bobsled team. And there's a scene in there where they're in the bathtub,
yep,
and they're all in a bathtub and they're going through the motions of first turn left, lean to the right, lean forward, lean back. So they go through every single turn over and over and over again until it becomes muscle memory so that when they are on the course, they've already done it.
Right.
And that's what a vision board does for you. It helps you see it as though I've already completed it. And then every time you look at it, put it at a place where you could see it regularly, you feel that emotional energy. This is a worthy goal, and this is the year I want to create.
Exactly. And it helps us attract what we want, because our mind attracts whatever we end end up thinking about. And having that vision board, having that visual reminder, it said a picture's worth a thousand words. You could have a bullet point of these are my goals. New house, new car, pay off mortgage, start a family. But it is not as impactful as seeing a picture that is similar to that house I want. Similar to that car I want.
Right, right, right.
So it helps us create that picture in our mind of what we're going to attract. And by doing that, we end up attracting what we're thinking about, what we're working towards.
I think we underestimate the creativity and power of our mind, because just setting those things in motion through faith helps them become a reality. My guest today has been Justin Stevens. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. If you'd like to receive my weekly tips on how to jumpstart your professional development, sign up at crossroads.sandler.com. This is Sandler Training, where you find power in reinforcement. Justin, we've got a workshop coming up for goal setting. Share with the listeners how they might join us.
So best thing to do is you can go to our website, crossroads.sandler.com. And on our website, you will see a link to the goal setting workshop. And it's $49 for a two-hour sessions. The sessions are on December 27th and January 3rd from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Could also just call us and we'll walk you through everything personally. 208-429-9275. 208-429-9275.
This is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. If you'd like to receive my weekly tips on how to jumpstart your professional development, sign up at crossroads.sandler.com. This is Sandler Training, finding power in reinforcement. Welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. We've been talking about goal setting, and I find that there's a big gap between the act of setting a goal and the act of achieving a goal. So I want to wrap up by sharing with you 7 success factors that will help you achieve your goals. This will allow you to move from just goal setting to actual goal achievement. And the first one is really having clarity of a mission. The best example I have in my mind is from President Kennedy making the announcement, "We will put a man on the moon by the end of this decade." He made that declaration in the early 60s. If you haven't yet watched the movie Hidden Figures, that is an awesome, inspiring movie that will help you get a real appreciation for the challenge of living as a minority in a bigoted community and learning how to overcome unbelievable obstacles. It's a story of women who were key to being human computers in the achievement of the Apollo mission. Without their help, the mission would never have been successful, and yet they were given very little acknowledgement or credit for it. That is the case oftentimes with goals. Once we set a goal, we may not be clear on how we're going to achieve it, but if we have a clarity of heart with our mission, we know what we're going to do, that mission will drive us to success. The thing I love about "we will put a man on the moon by the end of this decade" is that it is very simple, it is very clear, and it leaves no doubt in your mind about what will be the outcome. Now, at that time, think about President Kennedy making that declaration. He had no realistic reason to set that as a goal. We were in the middle of a space race with the Russians, and they were well ahead of us in technology. It was almost a declaration of defiance to beat the goal and the advancements that had been made by the Soviet Union. I think you got to get that level of passion, and you get that by recognizing who's against you. Who am I competing against? Which brings me to the second point, which is having motivation. What motivates me to want to achieve that goal? Am I competing against my own performance last year? Am I doing this for my family, for my personal acknowledgement, for the sake of self-respect? All of these motivating factors vary from person to person. What motivates me may be totally different from what motivates you. A universal that I find that almost all of us are motivated by is the fear of success. Now, fearing success is a little tricky. It's like, if I achieve this, can I really handle it? Think about in your day-to-day operations. If you're already busy
and you're setting a goal to achieve more. Your brain says, really? I'm not sure that I can achieve more. Where am I going to find the time? And what that does is it kicks into effect a self-limiting belief system that can become a self-limiting prophecy. I think oftentimes we don't achieve the success we want because that fear of success kicks in, creates doubt, and then we hold back. We withhold and we fail to take the action that we know would result in the success if we weren't self-sabotaging. And I think the other fear that is often crippling and sometimes motivating is fear of failure. I've made a goal. I don't want to embarrass myself, and I'm going to take action to achieve that goal. So both of the fear, I think, is not a great motivator. It is a motivator. Desperation, there's another motivator. It's not a great motivator. So finding a cause greater than yourself, that cause that can be wrapped up in your mission, I think that's a key to making sure you have the motivation to see your goal through to completion. The third point is really having a clear mindset. So my mindset about my goal has to be single-minded. I have the ability of confusing things by putting too much into it. So for me, I have to keep stripping back what is my goal so I get it down to its most simple form. And in my mind's eye, I like to see a domino set up. What's that first domino that once it falls, everything else is going to come together? My mindset has to be clear about that first domino. And I also have to recognize that I have what it takes to achieve that goal. We call that being in compliance with a belief wheel. So I first have to believe that it's a goal I can achieve. So if I believe that the goal I've set is one I can achieve, I will make a judgment that says, you know, I can do this. My corresponding actions will be to work out my plan, and my result will be plan achievement. But that same belief wheel works in reverse. If I set a goal that I don't think I can achieve, my judgment will be, this is greater than I have the capacity to achieve, which is going to create self-doubt and inaction. And that failure to take action is going to result in the failure to achieve the results. So we need to harness our belief system to make sure that we have clarity of thinking about our ability to achieve. So that's number three, getting a clear mindset. Number four, I've got to have a clear money concept. So my money concept is, in sales or business leadership, I have to believe that it's possible to achieve what I have not achieved before. I have to have that conception that the greater thing I'm striving to achieve is something that is well within my reason. And a great way to achieve that is start to expand your mindset when it comes to money, wealth, time. Instead of having scarcity, I don't have enough time. Instead of having doubt that I can't really make this happen. Having that concept or that idea that says, I have the creativity internally to make this happen, and I will do whatever it takes to achieve this goal. In order to believe that, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that you don't believe everything you think. During your attempts to achieve your goal, your brain is going to tell you this isn't possible. You're going to bump into a wall that's hard as concrete, that and reality is going to say, you know, you're not going to make it. And you have to, at that point, realize that I don't believe everything I think because I'm going to hold true to my vision and I'm going to hold true to my commitment. The next one is, I got to have a model for success. I have to clearly see a path. It's where I take my vision, I take my mission, and I take my goal, and I turn it into something that is an actionable plan. The next point is, in addition to the plan, I got to be able to measure it. Where am I on my path to goal achievement? Do I know the benchmarks? So if you're doing goal setting this year, make sure you break down your goal into my annual goal, my quarterly goal. Where will I be by the beginning of Q3? Where will I be by the beginning of Q2? Where will I be month by month? If I can define the metrics, I can achieve the goal. But many of us get lost in where we are because we're not really measuring it. We're not really clear about where we should be in the context of where we intend based on our goal. So doing that through really really clearly defining what am I going to measure and how am I going to measure it key. And the last point is I've got to have mutual accountability. I'm not going to be successful in a vacuum. I need to get other people on board. In fact, some of the goals that you're going to set may well put you at odds with key people in your life. I remember one time in my life, I set a goal that I wanted to be a better father, and I articulated what that was. And I defined the activities that I was going to do to make sure I achieved that goal. One of my other goals was to grow my business by 30%. And it wasn't long before I realized these are competing goals, and I'm not going to achieve both of them if I don't have help. So going to my wife, going to my kids, telling them what my goal is on both accounts, and getting them to collaborate with me to achieve that goal was a key factor in having the success that I envisioned and that I desired. You got to learn to surround yourself with people who force you to do better. If you continue to be around people who are comfortable, you're likely to find yourself in a comfort zone. And I'd like to leave you finally with a challenge. You got to be able to rebound. You will have challenges during your upcoming goal period, whether that's the next quarter, month, or year. You're going to have periods where you fail. And when you fail, you got to have short-term memory. You got to say to yourself, you know what? I can overcome this. I just need to learn the lesson. Life's lessons have a lot to teach us. Usually, we don't take time to stop and listen. You want to supercharge your goals this year? You want to move from goal setting to goal achievement? Learn to take time to really learn the lesson from life's successes and failures so that you have, my rule of thumb for failure is fail fast because I want to always be learning. Fail often because I want to be growing outside of my comfort zone, and all new failures. If I start failing the same way over and over again, folks, that's just insanity. I really appreciate listeners for inviting us into your world. I'm Jim Stevens, and my calling is to challenge people to resist the status quo. Are you frustrated that you're living with just good enough? Do you feel like you've been forced to accept chaos, volatility in your daily business and customer relations? Are you anxious about your career of trial and error and learning the hard way? If you're ready to stand up to the insanity of programmed living, call me at 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Have a great weekend. And remember, if you measure it, you'll manage it.